The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Up to 100,000 apartments built during the Celtic Tiger have been identified as having defects, and owners across the country are being forced to foot the bills. Philip Kennedy lives in the Crescent in Park West in Dublin and was recently asked to pay just under €70,000 to repair fire defects in a building that had received a fire certificate 2 years before it was completed. Good morning, Philip.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
Can you tell us when your journey on the property ladder began?
So, like many people, it kind of came with a decision to kind of get on the property ladder with a very big sort of goal in mind. So around 2018, I made some big decisions in my life to move back home to my family home. I'm very lucky that I live in Dublin and was in a position to do that. I sold my car. I cleared off any debts that I have. And really, I lived sort of, you know, very sort of frugally for about 18 months, where I put every single penny I had into my house or into my savings for the house. And that went on, like I said, for 18 months. And then in October 2019, I started actively searching for properties. And that's where the Crescent building in Park West came into my consciousness in a very sort of real way. I went up there, I viewed a number of different apartments. And then finally, the last one that I saw, the cliche is, you know, people always say when you walk into your home, you'll know it's the right one. And I truly felt that. So I found the right apartment for myself in October 19. It was a lengthy process then to go from sale agreed to keys. But on the 2nd of March 2020, just before lockdown, I received the keys to my apartment.
A fantastic moment to get the keys to your own apartment. You're suddenly, or after a great deal of effort, a homeowner. How old was the block in which you were purchasing?
So at that time, so what, October 2020, oh, so beg your pardon, March 2020, it would have just been shy, I'd say, about maybe 16, 17 years, I'd say. I'm from Ballyfermot, and I remember those apartments being built when I was maybe 13, 14. So I'd say somewhere in the region of about 16, 17 years by that stage.
Now, you had it surveyed before you bought. I'm sure your lender insisted on a survey anyway.
Yeah, my solicitor said, look, I think this is a really good idea. She goes, I would never let you buy anything without getting it checked. So I found a surveyor. I paid them a great deal of money to come out to the apartment. They inspected the apartment. I mean, I was very smart. I mean, I kind of knew this is the biggest, you know, investment I'm ever going to make. I wanted to make sure it was worth the money. They came out, they inspected the apartment. They sent me a detailed, nearly 15-page report of how great this apartment was, a few little things that maybe needed to be upgraded. But by and large, it was a steal. But at the time, they only inspected my unit, not communal areas. That bit was kind of out of their remit. So I felt very sort of hard done by, in the sense that I did the due diligence prior to buying and it still kind of came back on me.
Now, March 2020, you've got the keys, everything seems fine, and you've had the surveyor have a look over the place. Nothing to worry about. Until when? What happened?
I would say July 2021. I'm a school teacher. I was in the middle of correcting the Leaving Cert exams, and a friend of mine sent me one day a link to an Irish Times article, fire defects in Park West Point, €5 million bill. And I was kind of going, what's this? Where the hell has this kind of come from? What's happening? And I read the report, and it outlined a series of fire defects. And of course, our first sort of reaction is, where has this come from? How does the Irish Times know about it before I do? Where's my management company and all this? It was just bizarre. And I said, this, someone needs to make this make sense to me. Eventually, we got correspondence from the management company a couple of, maybe 2 or 3 weeks later, saying, look, don't believe everything you read in the press. Don't believe everything you read in the media. It's grossly exaggerated. Well, it turns out it was under exaggerated, because a year later, that bill went from 5 million to nearly 16 million. Yeah. So in retrospect, I kind of wish that was all we were dealing with. But that's the first time it kind of came to light.
Now, was there any indication in the building anyway that there was something amiss with the fire system?
Yeah, so basically one day, I think in maybe late 2020, I was at home and the fire alarm went off in the building. And the first time I'd heard, I do what anyone kind of does, is put on the coat, go outside. And I was expecting to see flocks of people, and there was absolutely nobody there. And I said, where is everyone? Why is no one moving? Eventually, the fire alarm system was silenced. I spoke to a neighbor later on. I said, what's going on earlier on? Why did no one leave? And she said, oh, that goes off all the time. We don't leave. We just, you know, it's not reliable. So people have kind of given up listening to it. And I said, that's really, really dangerous. I said, what happens if something ever was to happen? And she kind of shrugged her shoulders. And that's when I first got in touch with the management company. And it only escalated then, because eventually the fire alarm was going off 3-4 times in the middle of the night. I was getting up to check it, see. And it was never any real fire. It was just faults in the system. And then because my particular block was the one who shouted the loudest about the fire alarms going off, our panel was the first one to be changed. But because like that, we'd kind of given out yards about it because it was creating such a disruption to our sleep and so on. And that was the start of it, really. And then subsequently, the fire audit revealed much, much deeper issues.
Yeah. Now, what kind of issues were they? I mean, were fire doors not in place? You know, all the things that are on the plans before any building gets the nod from the planning department, all those things have to be checked out on the drawings. Now, the reality is they don't come back after the thing is built and check if it's been built to that spec.
Correct. Yeah, no, it's self-certification. You know, the building gets its fire certificate based off the plans, and I suppose the agreement that was in place, and that's still sort of in place, is that if you build the building to this spec, you will be in line with code. But like that, back in the Celtic Tiger, we were throwing up apartments left, right and centre. No one was coming out, and they definitely weren't checking behind walls. They definitely weren't, you know, going really for a deep dive to see if this building was built. You know, sometimes it was just visual inspections, and that was our biggest issue, was that a lot of stuff that maybe was checked was only ever a visual inspection. And in terms of a detailed audit of fire worthiness, that wasn't done. I mean, just in brief, I mean, it's quite a long report we received from our OMC, but basically the gist of it is, and one of the biggest findings, that our corridors are supposed to give us extra time to get out of the building should there be a fire. That it's meant to provide extra sort of time to escape, and one of the findings of the report is that that doesn't give as much adequate time to exit as much as would need in an emergency. And because I live on the fifth floor, something like that is very, very important to me.
So the bill to put this right, you might imagine the people who did the construction might be liable, but in my experience, a lot of these developments are done by a company, a special purpose vehicle that's set up. They build out whatever it is, a housing estate or a series of apartment blocks. Then they shut it down, they take their profits, and that company is no more. They move on, set up another company. To do more building. That's normally how developers do it. It doesn't sound right, but that's what they do. It almost looks like they're insuring themselves against the possibility of something going wrong, and they're protected by limited liability. The company goes, there's nothing to get.
Correct. I mean, the statute of limitations is 6 years from when the building is built, not from when you discover the issue, which almost seems like it's nearly pointing blame at the owner, because like it's almost saying like it's your fault you didn't discover it quicker. It's not our fault we were able to hide it for longer than 6 years. But you're absolutely right. I mean, development companies in particular, you know, our developer or whatever, you know, has gone into liquidation and is no longer liable, and is subsequently building very, very close by to us under a very, very, very similar name, and we're left with the bill just two train stops away. So, you know what, and they're working the system, and they're working within the legislation, and that's where we really need the change to start happening now, that, you know, we have to start holding people, like I said, accountable for their inactions, and they're allowed to get away with it, and it's really come to a point now where that's no longer viable.
Yeah, we're pushing all the time with the minister to put in place latent defects insurance, so every new build, when you go into it, you have this policy which covers you against defects that cannot be perceived at that particular point, the point of purchase, when everything is shiny and new. But getting back to your situation, how much per apartment is it going to cost to put this right?
Well, the bill that was put to us was €68,500, euro, which works out about €300 a week for the next 5 years.
Wow, that is like a second mortgage.
It is absolutely a second mortgage. It's completely outside the realm of possibility for most normal, average working people. It's outrageous. It's also, I think, in terms of other apartment buildings, our number seems astronomically off the charts. I mean, our figure also includes a 30%, you know, contingency for inflation, which I've grave issues with anyway. But you're looking at the guts of €68,500. This was put to us at an EGM there in October. It was declined by members, and all the scary, scaremongering scenarios of what could happen if we didn't approve it, you know, were put to us, which didn't go down very well with owners. And because we're very, you know, we're open people, we're here to find a solution. But the reality is we can't give something that we don't have. And at the minute, one of the things that we're trying to push for, Minister Dara O'Brien, is we're trying to push for not just redress, but 100% redress, because anecdotally, we're hearing from people in Donegal that even schemes that have been put in place for them haven't been sufficient enough. We're not looking for tax credits, because tax credits to us is going to mean that we still have to secure the loan. We still have to find the 68,000 euro and then whatever system is put in place there. We're also looking as well for interim measures. I mean, the reality is until this is sorted, our building is still not safe. What happens, God forbid, if we were Grenfell 2.0? We need 24, so we need someone to help us pay for 24/7 fire wardens to watch our building. We need the government to come out and say, look, if there's going to be any extras put on your premium for insurance, we're going to cover it in the interim. We don't need sound bites from ministers saying we need help. We actually need action. Finally, as well, we're pushing as well. There's a committee set up of people who live in different apartment complexes who are pushing for a meeting with Minister Dara O'Brien prior to him bringing a memo to Cabinet in the next couple of weeks. That meeting and that request for an in-person meeting hasn't been accepted yet. And we're really pushing to meet him before he brings that memo.
Finally, Philip, I have to ask you, because our listeners, most of them, I'm sure, are taxpayers, and they'll be wondering, why should the taxpayer pick up the tab? Where does it all stop?
Because I could be your brother and I could be your son and I could be your friend and my safety's put at risk and we all have a responsibility to take care of each other. That's why.
There's an irony here, Philip, isn't there, that if there were to be a fire, heaven forbid, that the people responsible for this inadequate fire safety might well be subject to criminal sanction. But in the civil domain, they walk away.
Look, we've put in place a systemic, you know, system in this country where people are allowed to avoid culpability for their actions, and you know, we give them a slap on the back and we let them, you know, we give them a second chance to make profit. And you have to remember, these developers are making millions. This is their, like, not just their bread and butter. This is everyone. This is the whole loaf for these people, and we're creating a system which allows them to do it. And you know, I know, particularly when we contacted our developer to speak about this issue, you know, we were referred to the liquidation company and we're saying, well, the liquidation company didn't build the building, you did. So you're the person who should be answerable for this. You're the person who, you know, 6 years, it should be indefinite. If someone was negligent and if somebody was, you know, I suppose knowingly or unknowingly, whatever you want to call it, if they weren't doing their due diligence, there should be no statute of limitations. It should be indefinite. If the building isn't built to quality, to what it should be worth, then someone should always be held culpable of that. Instead, here we are now. I've done the right thing. I've gotten on the property ladder. I did my best to make sure the building was worth, you know, was worth the paper. It was, you know, and here we are, like, a couple of years later, and this is only the start of it. There are people sitting in apartments right now this morning who don't know the scale of the extent of the issues they're dealing with. We're lucky that at least we have the knowledge of it, but this is just the tip of the iceberg. And also as well, this can't go on for years as well. We also need a time frame for redress and a time frame for these works to happen, because in the meantime, we're sitting ducks. We are sitting ducks waiting for something to happen. And God forbid, we know the money is dreadful and all that, but this is people's lives.
All right, Philip.
This could really be Grenfell 2.0 unless we act soon.
Philip Kennedy, thank you very much for talking to me this morning.
Pat, I appreciate your time. Thank you.
And with me in studio, Pat Montague of the Construction Defects Alliance. Pat, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
This is a huge problem. You are obviously involved in lobbying and advocating for a number of apartment blocks. How many are defective?
Well, the working group set up by the government reported at the end of July, and it estimated that up to 100,000 are affected by defects. And of those, 90,000 potentially with fire safety defects. So fire safety issues are by some considerable distance the biggest problem. And that consists of basically the lack of fire stopping. Technical term, but basically apartments are supposed to be compartmentalized from one another, because most people in this country live in, you know, semi-detached or detached houses where, you know, the issue of compartmentation is an alien concept.
No, you can get out your hall door. If there's a fire next door, you leave your
house. Basically, it means you have an hour. That basically there's an hour to stop the spread of fire and smoke from one apartment or a common area into an apartment.
Now, we mentioned during the chat with Philip that this was a desk-based exercise. The architects and developers and builders put in their plans,
yes,
showing that they're adhering to all the rules, and then they get permission with the fire certificate to build, but nobody came back to look. Did they build it right?
No. And that was the regime until 2014. And that's why we're looking at apartments built between 1991 and 2013 during the lifetime of that regulatory regime. And in effect, what happened was that, as you say, plans were submitted, the fire officer reviewed them, and, you know, if they the plans were in line with the regulatory requirements, they were issued with a provisional fire certificate, and then there would be confirmation at the end of the construction process that the construction had been carried out in
who
line
confirmed?
With that.
Who confirmed?
Exactly. The builder. By and large,
he's self-certified. He said, I built this to the spec.
Exactly. And actually, on Primetime last week, they showed a copy of a letter from the builder confirming that it had been built in accordance with the plans, and therefore the fire cert was confirmed.
So a lot of this stuff happened, and, you know, there were very reputable builders.
Yes.
And the developers employ builders to
yes.
do the building. Very reputable builders, and of course some disreputable
yes.
builders as well. How come these reputable builders ended up building shoddy stuff? What was the reason at that time?
Well, it was a combination of factors that the working group found, and I suppose in our experience would indicate it too, which was, one, at the time the sector was hugely overstretched. So we had a boom in construction going on. So there were a lot of people working in construction who frankly didn't know what they were doing. Secondly, there was a massive change in the way construction was organised, where building firms moved from actually totally managing a project and doing all yeah. of the work to simply just being in a management role. And
yeah, we bring in the subbies to
correct.
Do the electrics, to do this,
to do everything,
that.
Including
and they were on, obviously, bonuses for time and all the
exactly.
rest of it.
And the other piece as well, too, was there was no oversight. There was no oversight, effective oversight. There was a nominal target of 12 to 15% set for inspection of new builds by local authorities. And frankly, most of the time, they never met that.
Now, why do they not bring in a proper inspection? It would add marginally to the cost of a building, but why not inspect everything when it's complete?
Because this was actually proposed, in fact, by the some of the construction professional bodies about 10 years ago. And the Department of Housing was against it. Why? Because of fear of liability attaching.
In other words, if they inspected and something went wrong, they could be sued.
Correct. Correct.
So they what did they do? They did something really bizarre.
Well, so basically there's a, I suppose, a more evolved and I suppose thorough system of self-certification involved that involves the various players in the construction process signing off on the various stages, whereas before all that was required was when it was completed. Now, during construction, they have to sign off, but it's still self-certification.
Yeah. So someone employed, an architect, a surveyor, whatever, employed by the builder
yes.
will sign off.
Correct.
Now, they're very unhappy about this because they can't necessarily get down into every duct and behind every wall.
Of course. And I mean,
and they've got to put their own reputation, their own insurance on the line.
Which is why professional indemnity insurance has gone through the roof for those professionals. That's a reality. So, yeah, it is not a thorough system. And I think that we have seen, not just in apartment defects, but also with pyrite and mica, the outcome of avoidance. So avoiding doing the right thing has actually led to ordinary citizens being on the hook for that. And so we still have to address this system of a proper regulation, oversight of the regulations.
Now, there is another way of doing this, which is to insist that every new build has latent defect insurance.
Correct.
Why does the department not want that?
A good question. I know during the working group discussions, so this is the working group on defective homes that I mentioned earlier on, there was a proposal at that there should be mandatory latent defects insurance brought in. Cost €1,500 to €2,000 once-off cost.
Yeah, and on a property that might be anywhere from €300,000
absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely. And unlike home bond, it actually pays out. However, the view taken, and I think particularly pressed by people in the department, was that addressed future issues rather than, and was outside the terms of reference of the working group. And I
but
know
the industry doesn't want it, does it?
Well, I think there's a reluctance around that. And I mean, again, the construction professionals have been calling for this for decades. And there has been huge resistance. The answer tends to be, look, banks and insurers are increasingly asking for this, so we don't need to do anything because it's happening.
Now, there are other apartment blocks besides the pre-91 blocks. You know, Dublin Corporation yes. built many blocks. Do they fall foul of no. The current safety no. regulations? Why not?
Why? Because they actually had a person involved in construction that oversaw it called a clerk of works. And the clerk of works played a key role in ensuring that stuff was done properly. And I mean, ask anybody who was involved in construction back in the day and they'll tell you, you fall foul of a clerk of works at your peril, because they were the sort of the key person on site.
Finally, there are people living like ostriches with their heads in the sand.
Yes.
They don't know whether or not their block has defects. What should they do?
OK, well, there's a couple of things. One, they should, first of all, get in touch with the Construction Defects Alliance, because we don't out anybody and we can advise them and help them. And that's constructiondefectsalliance.ie, all one word. Other thing to do is they can use our website. We'll be putting up something from tomorrow to lobby their TDs, because this is key. Decisions are being made in the next while. So it's really important to say this, that the minister is, and I have to give credit to him, he is trying to do something about this. We need to pressure his cabinet colleagues to make sure that a fit for purpose remediation support scheme is going to be put in place, because a scheme is going to be put in place, but we need it to be one that's right. So again, if they go to the website, they can, you know, we have emails ready. They can click on a map, get their constituency reps, email them. They're the things they can do to help themselves. And finally, we're having a protest Wednesday next week at 1 o'clock outside Leinster House, a dignified protest, because it's 5 years since the Oireachtas Housing Committee's Safe as Houses report was completed. And the message is still not safe as houses. And just to remind the system that we need to go past the report and put a proper remediation support scheme in place. And of course, make sure this doesn't happen again.
Pat Montague of the Construction Defects Alliance, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.